Okay, we're ready. Okay, so we'll go ahead and reconvene to open session. Could we please rise and have the pledge first?
Okay, follow me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You're welcome. Okay, oops, I'm sorry. I was looking over there for you. Roy, could we please go ahead and have the report out of closed session?
Yes, there was no reportable action.
Okay, thank you. With that, then, we'll go ahead and move to item C, or pardon me, 7, presentation and public hearings. First one is a presentation in acknowledgement of Director R. Michael Wright's valued service to the community of Los Osos. As everybody knows, I think that his term is up and he chose not to rerun for election. So with that being said, we do have a proclamation that we'd like to read and then a presentation for you. So with that, and we'll go ahead and do the proclamation. And I know I picked this up. I saw them doing this in Pismo Beach, where instead of just me reading the the proclamation, everybody will get a chance to read part of it. So I'll start, and then we'll move over to John Eric. So I have a proclamation of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors commending R. Michael Wright for his service to Los Osos.
Whereas Mike Wright was appointed to the LOCSD Board of Directors in 2011 and subsequently elected to a four-year term by the voters of Los Osos in 2012. Whereas Mike Wright was elected by his peers to serve as president of the board from 2015 to 2016.
Whereas Mike Wright exemplifies the best qualities of an elected public official, bringing a balanced perspective to the decision-making process that includes honesty, integrity, fairness, and a deep caring for his community.
Whereas Mike Wright deserves recognition for the tremendous amount of energy and commitment that he has given and continues to give to the community of Los Osos.
You missed a line, but I'll pick it up for you.
I just read what was highlighted.
Okay. Whereas Mike Wright served on the Los Osos Community Service Board with distinction, always voting for the greater public good in spite of significant challenges. And now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Los Osos CSD Board of Directors commends R. Michael Wright for his efforts, recognizes his invaluable service, and wishes him well in his future endeavors. Yes, I do. Tell me what's best.
Up front.
Somebody's supposed to hold a football.
Well, there's short. Keep it short here. It has been an honor to be on the board. I've learned a lot over the years. Even have a deeper respect for Los Osos and its citizens. And I encourage as many people as possible to participate because that's how we get better, and I think we have gotten better over the years. And I wish the board good fortune in the future and welcome Vicki into this spot here. And in keeping with the one of the items on the agenda tonight, just remember the motto is wag more, bark less. So thank you.
You always leave a tough act to follow here. So with that, then, we'll go ahead and move on to item 7B, which is a public hearing to adopt ordinance number 2016-01, amending and restating the district's fire prevention code found in Title IV of the Los Osos Community Service District Codes, including the adoption of the 2016 edition of the California Fire Code, including annual supplements and state amendments and errata. So do we have a staff report?
You've already heard the staff report for the introduction.
At the first reading,
yeah,
right.
So the only thing I'd recommend is that you open the public hearing, close it when comment is through, and then adopt it on second reading by title only.
Okay.
And
our
fire department staff is here to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. So do we have any public comment on this particular item? Okay. Seeing none, looks like fire gets off easy tonight. So we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board.
I move to conduct the second reading by title only of Ordinance Number 2016-01 of the Los Osos Community Services District, amending Title IV of the District Code by adopting the 2016 edition of the California Fire Code, including annual supplements, state and local amendments, and direct staff to publish the appropriate public hearing notice.
I'll second.
Okay, we have motion and second. Any discussion? Since it is a resolution, we'll take a roll call, please.
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Susania?
Yes.
Director Tarnowski?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, then, With that, then, we'll go to item number 8 on the agenda, public comment for items not on the agenda. So if you'd like to speak to something not on the agenda, now's your opportunity.
Hi, my name is Al Barrow. I just want to thank everybody for keeping the ship of state running smoothly. I've been gone for a couple of years because I've been sick, but I look at the new staff and the agenda and the plans, and everything's looking pretty good. And I think the maintenance crews are running the delivery system really nicely. So we have a lot to be grateful for, that everything is going smoothly as usual, and it looks like there's plans to make things even better in the future and maybe help out with some other expenses and things like that. So I just want to thank all you all personally for all the times you spent, all the work you did.
Thank you, Al. Any other public comment?
This is Steve Best. There's been some work going on over at the tennis courts here recently, and I've been talking with Steve Neer, with the one of the directors there at the Parks and Recreation Department, for the one of the architects for the county, and we've had conversations about a couple different things, but. They were looking at the situation of where to put the excess sand that was coming out of the work on the tennis courts. And after some discussion, it was recommended that we put the excess sand on the lawn out here to try to alleviate the problems with the holes and the irregularity and make the lawn much safer for the kids and the older folks that might have problems with ankles or falling down and things like that. So it it was a very productive conversation, and it just, to me, it felt like this is an opportunity where we're really missing out. We're not really coordinating well with the county in a lot of ways, where we need to have better coordination so we're not duplicating efforts. I've had conversations with a few people about how in a lot of ways we've had some not well spent money on those tennis courts. That could have been done in a better way to produce a better result and been a better product for the taxpayers. One of the things that I would like to suggest is that we start having joint meetings between LOCAC and the CSD so we can start having a better dialogue between the two and get a definition of scope and purpose and responsibilities so that we avoid duplication of efforts, build more trust within the community for both the CSD and for LOCAC, better definition so that people feel like there is a difference between the two. And I think we'd get a lot more productivity out of it. And the other thing that's been coming out of some of these conversations, and I've been talking with a few of the directors about it, is the possibilities of being able to adopt this community park. The benefits are huge. It produces basically everything that we have on our agenda for the Parks and Recreation Department. It also potentially give us a great tie-in with the Tri-W site, so we can do some things, connect with the Rotary Club and so forth, with doing an outdoor stage, nature trails, and a variety of other things, and most specifically a dog park location. So there's just huge potential if we do it, build a tremendous amount of pride and beauty here for our town. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Julie.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I'm a member of the LOCAC Land Use Committee. And at our last meeting, there were a couple of projects coming through in the Prohibition Zone that added bedrooms to individual existing homes. After 30 years, the community has been looking forward to the lifting of the moratorium, and in doing so, you would think that bedrooms and bathrooms to existing housing stock would be allowed. There is a condition of the wastewater project that says that there's no guarantee that intensified uses would be allowed. The county is allowing more bedrooms. Bathrooms were never an issue. If there's 10 people or one person in a house, the bathroom gets used as much as it's going to get used. Doesn't matter if there's 2 toilets or 10 toilets. That's always been silly thing to prohibit people from adding bathrooms. But adding bedrooms is the equivalent of adding space for more people to live. That becomes an intensified use. I don't mind that people add a bedroom to their home. That makes it more comfortable for them if they have more children, whatever, that's their life. What the question then becomes, and I raised this at that LOCAC Land Use Committee meeting, was if 3 existing homes each add a bedroom, what is the difference between those 3 bedrooms and those potential intensified uses and adding 1 new home with 3 bedrooms? I don't see a difference. You still have the potential of having the same amount of people in those spaces using the same amount of water. I don't know if the county has asked for will serve letters for these properties inside the Prohibition Zone. I know in other communities that is one of the check boxes when you get a minor use permit, that you need a will serve from your local purveyor. I don't know if the Community Services District has been doing that, checking that box for those people, writing a letter. I bring this to you because I believe it's a community discussion. It's something that we all need to have a part in, and I'm kind of disappointed that the county has taken this step without that community conversation. So I hope that you also find the concern that I do.
Thank you. Any additional comments?
Turn the clock off, Marshall?
No. Depends on what you're talking about.
Needs and wishes.
I know.
Okay. Richard Margetson, December 10th is the 11th annual Needs and Wishes holiday fundraiser for our county's homeless here at the center after the parade. The usual... we have the silent auction. There's some exceptional items this year. Cambria Pines Lodge, two-night stay with the Bruckus Buffet in a large suite. Beans Roofing donated a tube light installed anywhere in the county, value $650. Gift baskets. You know, we always have somewhere between 250 and 400 items. The toy store... I think the fire chief's going to talk about Operation Santa Claus. The gift certificate table, the pies from Slow Bake Bakery, all of that. I wanted to kind of highlight this year, though, besides the high school choir and the Ann Tiberts dance groups, this year we have the Japanese taiko drummers that performed at the... Community Center 30th anniversary party. They're at 3 o'clock. If you haven't seen them, they're exceptional. 4 o'clock, we have Derek Hood, the magician, lives locally but performs in Vegas. He's exceptional. He's really good. He's at 4 o'clock. Colleen Wall's new community choir that started in July with 5 members now has 55 members. That's at noon. There's other things. So those are the three new things that have been added in the entertainment schedule this year. You know, it's an event that's kind of taken on its own life. I think what draws people to it is everything in the room that day was donated by somebody. So every penny raised goes to the three charities. And the three charities this year are Maxine Lewis Memorial Shelter, which next year will be called 40 Prado, the Noor Clinic, the free clinic started by Dr. Noristani. Rupert Chowans from the clinic board will be here to give an update on the services that have been provided specifically to Los Osos, and Transitional Food and Shelter out of North County that provides assistance throughout the county for those that come out of a hospital stay or a medical treatment homeless so they have a warm place to recover and recuperate. All exceptional charities, all deserving. Can I keep going? Okay. I'm not going to do my usual plea for people coming and donating as much as possible. I think that's evident during this season. But I think this is a year that I need to mention two things. And I just want to have a couple minutes here. Now, the first thing is this will be the first year that the co-founder of this event, Jerry Walsh, won't be participating here locally. Even though I'm still getting phone calls reminding me of, did you call this person? Did you set this up? Have you contacted, you know, Judy Salamaca at the Bay News? Have you done those things? But she actually won't be here in town. There will be a big poster board at the event that we would like people to sign thanking her. This event would have never become what it became without her. She was behind it from day one. She stuck behind it. She promoted it. She helped run it. And without her, it wouldn't be what it is today. So if you're so inclined when you're there, just say thank you and sign your name, and I will make sure she gets it during the holiday season. The other thing I want to mention, this community was instrumental in this new shelter being built. And I want to give you an early example of how that happened. and how it ties into needs and wishes. At the second annual needs and wishes event, a gentleman from this community came up to Jerry and I at the event and said he wanted to talk to us after, after the event was over, sometime the following week. The gentleman stayed anonymous this entire period. He became our $5,000 matching donor originally. But later on in the process, as we were developing plans for where we were going to put a shelter, at one point it was going to be we were looking at the bus station in San Luis, and the neighborhood didn't want that, and blah, blah, blah. He became the anchor donor for the fundraising drive years ago. His donation was $200,000. It's actually the third largest donation. It was done anonymously. People still, other than the fundraising committee and Jerry and I, don't know who this gentleman is. But he's from this community. And it came about because he liked the premise of needs and wishes that everything from the event was donated to the charities, that we had no overhead. And he backs those type of efforts. So a member of this community actually got the fundraising campaign underway many years ago. He's out. He may be watching. He watches these occasionally. So if he's out there, thank you. I've thanked him numerous times. I've never said it publicly like this, but that came from this community. It came from this event. And there's many other donations to building that shelter that came from this community. So we should be real proud of where this has gone, because 11 years ago, this was a pipe dream. The event was started to assist Maxine in running its operations, but the underlying premise was to eventually get a shelter built, and they broke ground more than a month ago. At this time next year, we probably will have a new shelter. So I think Chuck wants to add something about the silent auction at some point tonight about what he's doing, your lunch thing. So whatever you think it's appropriate, you can plug that. But please come December 10th. 10 to 7. Bring your change, bring your pocketbooks, enjoy the entertainment, and we'll see you there. Happy holidays.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment on items not on the agenda. We'll go to administrative and committee reports. First one is the fire department report.
Good evening, everyone. Tom McEwen, I'm the South Bay Battalion Chief, and I'm here to present the Fire Department report for the month of October 2016. During the month of October 2016, Station 15 had a total of 93 calls. Of those calls, 9 of them were simultaneous, the back-to-back calls requiring both units to respond to separate calls. 63 of the calls were medical aids, and 40 of those required advanced life support. We had 3 traffic collisions, 4 fire calls, 21 public service assists, and 5 other emergencies. It's pretty much a normal month for the South Bay Station 15. Company 15 came in and covered the station for a total of 11 times during that month. We were continuing to work on Medic Engine 215. It's been receiving a complete replacement of all the Code 3 equipment. The Code 3 equipment that was on it had become obsolete and was causing us some in-service issues. So under the contract with CAL FIRE, that equipment was replaced. And so we have all new modern LED lights on the reserve engine, so we won't have so many problems with it being out of service. Also in October, we lost another reserve firefighter who's taking a permanent job with Ventura City Fire Department, and we're in the process of once again continuing to attempt to hire some more reserves. When we look at that reserve program, I think there's a typo on here. It says that we're hiring a 19 prospective reserves. I think that's 9 prospective reserves. So I didn't want you guys to get too worried that we were going to try to stick you with 40 employees or something. So anyhow, special projects that went on. We had our annual fire safety fair, and I think it went really well this year. It was a nice day, and we had really great attendance, kind of quiet in the morning, and we just got pretty well overwhelmed as soon as the soccer games were over. We had a total of 96 children participate in the complete hand stamp program, which means that 96 children actually went to the trouble of getting the card, going to each and every station and getting it stamped and going back and getting their cookies afterwards. We were reported by the guys working the different stations that there were lots of kids coming through that didn't have a card with them. So we're really guessing that we probably could have easily seen 200 kids from the community in the surrounding area. So that's really great for us to get out there. And you know, it's our one premier event a year to get out there and really try to talk to the community. And we had a lot of good support. We had the Sheriff's Department out there with their rescue Humvee and their DARE vehicle. We had the fire extinguisher flash plan. Slow ambulance was out there. And just a lot of good community support. So we continue to plan to do that the same next year, and we hope to see you all then. As far as special projects, we had the Alicia Ann Roosh Byrne Foundation run came through, and we went to our school, local schools here with Engine 15 and Medic Rescue 15 to teach the stop, drop, cover your face, and roll. On October 14th, we had a student from Morro Bay High School come along for a job shadow. And we also participated in the Baywood Elementary Carnival and the middle school's, what is it they call it, Station 55 for Halloween, where our engines was stood by just in case and helped a little bit with the setup and takedown of that. So we had a pretty busy month with fire prevention projects and so on and so forth, and we had a good, I think, productive outreach to the community there. So, as I said, under training, it says 19 prospective reserves. We're looking at a total of 9 prospective reserves. The oral interviews have been conducted. We're looking at, and I've been meeting with Renee a couple times to look at a different way to do the backgrounds, because right now our background investigations are really holding up our hiring process. So we're looking at maybe coming up with a better way to do background investigations, and that's still ongoing. But most of these... 8 of them already have had a background investigation, so we're probably going to use that to move them forward in the hiring practice so we can get them on. So that's about it for the fire department, but the most important thing that we wanted to talk about was Operation Santa Claus this year, and we wanted to give everybody an update. Operation Santa Claus is going as it does every year, and we have the cans out in front of Station 15. If it's raining, they'll be inside the office. And people who want to donate toys to Operation Santa Claus can drop them off at any CAL FIRE or San Luis Obispo County Fire Department station. But definitely right here in Los Osos, bring them on to Station 15. If the door's not unlocked, just knock on the door, and we'll get somebody up there. And if there's nobody around, hopefully you can bring them back or just leave them at our front door, and we'll get them put away. We've already got, I think, probably at least 2 to 3 barrels full of toys that we're starting to back up, and that's great. So many people from the community are bringing toys. We're also accepting food donations at the station. If you want to bring canned, non-perishable foods, we'll accept the food donations there also. And I really, really have been enjoyed talking to the people who've come to the office to drop off. They're so excited to bring these things to help out the community. I was also going to talk about needs and wishes, but I think Richard pretty much covered it completely. And we hope you come out to that on December 10th and support the community and maybe take some of those toys and bring them on over to donate to some of our kids in this community that need them. So other than that, if you don't have any questions, I'd be done with my fire department report.
Any questions?
No. I just wanted to thank you for your service here in Los Osos. I know this is your last meeting, correct?
Yeah. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Yes, it is my last meeting because they've moved That's up correct. Our transfer date. I'm actually going to be officially moved to my new position on Monday, and Josh will be taking over here on Monday. So what we were going to do at the end of fire season ended up all occurring Monday, December 5th. So this will be my last meeting here, and you'll see Josh next time.
Yeah, so, I was going to go ahead and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I've enjoyed my year here. It's been definitely a huge learning experience for me, and I really appreciate you guys, and it's so obvious working with people that care so much for their community. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, then we'll go ahead and move to the sheriff's report.
I'm Commander Jim Taylor from the Sheriff's Office. For the period between November 3rd and today, the Sheriff's Office has received 458 calls for service in Los Osos. Included in those numbers are 40 traffic stops, by deputies on vehicles that were either suspicious or they had been stopped for a vehicle code violation. There were 15 pedestrian contacts where deputies had stopped people on foot to talk to them. There were 5 foot patrols conducted in the downtown area. We responded to 16 alarm calls, 12 were businesses, 4 were residential. There were no losses associated with them. We had 42 disturbing the peace calls. These calls ranged from loud parties, family fights, and several drunks who were trying to enter their home, but they went to the wrong residence. We had 5 vandalisms. We had cactus and solar lights damaged in a flower bed to a residence in the 900 block of El Moro. We had a slashed tire on a car, which we believe stemmed from a landlord-tenant dispute in the 1200 block of 4th Street. We had damage to a front door inflicted by a drunk who was trying to get into the wrong house in the 1200 block of 4th Street. We had graffiti spray painted on an entrance sign at a local mobile home park in the 1700 block of LOVR. There was damage done to a commercial building in the 2000 block of 9th Street, which we believe may have been done by a vehicle. It may have not have actually been a vandalism. It might have been a traffic accident. We had damage to the exterior yard of a dog daycare business in the 1000 block of LOVR. In that case, the juvenile suspects were located by deputies, the parents were notified, and then a civil compromise was worked out between the business owner and the parents. There were 4 thefts reported during this period. There was a theft of a laptop from an unlocked car in the 700 block of Woodland. We had a theft of an Amazon package from the front stoop of a residence in the 500 block of Ash Street. There was a cell phone stolen from a bench located in front of the Merrymaker Bar. And we had a phone scam that resulted in the theft of $200. The victim reported that they were contacted by someone who identified himself as David from Windows and said that there was a problem with their computer and that if they paid with their credit card over the phone, they would complete the work and correct the problem. The work was not done. It's obviously a scam. The victim went to the website, which is www.fix123.us, and it's a phony website set up overseas. We had 2 burglaries and 1 attempted burglary. The first burglary involved a victim who alleged the theft of medication from their bedroom. The victim suspected one of their roommates. When the deputies pressed them for more details, they became uncooperative and refused to identify which roommate it might have been. That occurred at a residence in the 1800 block of 12th Street. We had a suspect who stole vape pens from a business in the 2100 block of LOVR. And we had a homeowner who reported that their residential window screen had been sliced open and planter boxes moved. However, there did not appear to be any entry made into the residence. That was in the 2000 block of 10th Street. There was 1 battery. We had a fight between 2 women in the 1800 block of 9th Street. And deputies got on scene, and neither subject wanted to prosecute the other. We had 1 assault with a deadly weapon involving a knife. We had a son who attacked his father with a knife during an argument in the 400 block of Henrietta Street. The son was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon. There were a total of 23 arrests made. There were 2 warrant arrests, 6 arrests made for domestic violence, 2 arrests made for trespassing, 2 arrests made for possession of methamphetamine, 1 arrest for assault with a deadly weapon, and 1 arrest for violating a restraining order, and there were 9 public intoxication arrests. And that is the report.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you for the detailed report.
It's from November 3rd when we last met to today.
Okay. Margaret, would you like the utilities report, please?
Good evening. My name is Margaret Faulkner, and I'm here to report on the operations of the LOCSD Utilities Department. As far as water production is concerned, in September, there was 16.2 million gallons, which was an increase from the previous year by approximately 11%, and that equates to 70 gallons per person per day. And then in October, 14.6 million gallons was produced, and it was an increase of almost 2% compared to the previous year. And the number that I put in the staff note is incorrect as far as gallons per person per day. It's only 63 instead of 71. I think I reversed some of the numbers when I was using that formula. But anyway, as far as water billing is concerned, 43% of the water service area received approximately 10.4 million gallons in consumption, and that was for the period of September 12th through November 9th, and it represents the revenue was $138,131. As far as drainage is concerned, we did get a little bit of rain in September, and from January through September, we've got about 11.4 measured down at our water facilities. And although it's been nice to get a little bit of rain, I just want to remind everyone we're still in a drought. Vista Day, Oro, and Bay Ridge Estates, we were sent out letters in August, and I received some, information from one of the committee members that happens to live in one of those subdivisions that some of their neighbors didn't get the letter, so I just went ahead and sent it out again in November, and that was supposed to be hopefully before they got their tax bills, but hopefully that'll help settle it. I only got a couple calls on the phone, but I do recall getting some calls when we sent it out initially in August from the Vista de Oro subdivision too. So I made a copy of that letter again and put it in the packet here. One thing I would like to say is thank you to Director Wright and for your time serving here. Thank you. And stay on those committees. We'll be looking forward to seeing you there. And also, I can't believe it's already December 1st, so I'd like to wish everybody a safe and a happy holiday. And I'm here to answer any questions if you have them.
Thank you, Margaret. Any questions? Yeah.
Yes, I just noticed that in terms of production, the South Bay Upper Well, we're using a tenth as much as we did last year, and Palisades production is up this year. The two are obviously inversely proportional. Is there which one's driving that? Are we using South Bay less because we're having problems with it, or are we just using Palisades a little bit more because we hadn't been and we're using it again?
Yeah, South Bay had some issues with the computer there, so it's been out of service. If you notice on the in both of September and October, it was almost out of service the
right.
whole time. So that means that they have to readjust where they're pumping from, and just a little bit more time running on that big well here at Palisades.
So it's just those couple months. That's not like that's been all year long, and
I
haven't noticed it until now. Okay.
These 2 months.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Margaret. Okay, we'll move on to the general manager's report. Renee.
A general manager report has been submitted for your review. Just a quick summary. I've met with fire, water, and admin staff to discuss current needs and concerns. I've met separately with fire staff, Unit Chief Jalbert, and Deputy Chief Cleveland to discuss some other concerns that they've had. I've been working with the bookkeeper on the changes to the budget and presentation, and also in regards to the balance sheet. As I mentioned previously, we'll be looking for a new bookkeeper to take over the current bookkeeper responsibilities, payroll, and some other accounting duties. And in the board packet in this report, I listed that we'd like to move Ann Kudart up to the administrative service manager, and that one update to the second person, which is the utility manager position for Margaret Faulkner. I've been able to contact the local union rep, which is SLOCIA, I believe, and we've worked out a position where we can rewrite that position, and that way Margaret she's been doing the job of the utility manager plus her job, and so this way we can promote her and keep her doing everything that she's doing now, and without having to go out to RFP, which is expensive, and without having to you know, up that position to $100,000 to $130,000 a year position. And so this way, Margaret keeps the job and she gets a stipend increase and everybody's happy. So I'd like to, that'll be the change in the organizational chart that I'll make at, when we get to that. I think it's 12A. Also, I've been meeting with the district engineer to discuss capital improvements list, the assets list, and some closed session items. And as far as the district changes go, we've moved out of the upstairs suite. We've moved into the side bottom suite, and we're preparing it to be a board, future board meeting room. And we should be ready to go by the January meeting, and we will make sure we're ready to post it so that everybody knows where the meeting is going to be in January. The Barnett and Cox contracts are attached. That term will end in December, and we hope to go to Cal Poly and maybe find an intern that's interested for credit, school credit, to take over our Facebook page and possibly our website. And in the spirit of collaborating with Golden State on community presence, which is something that some of the public members have asked for us, we'll be doing the Christmas parade with them. And we've been working on that. And if there's any questions that anybody would like me to address. Yes?
Yep, Lou?
Yeah, after spending a number of years at Cal Poly, could you describe what you're going to look for a...
We're going to go to the business department or perhaps the graphics to see if they have what you do is you post the job and then you wait to see if any Cal Poly student will want the job, and then they'll come and let us know, and then they get credit for it.
So how are you going to assess the relevant expertise that the
We'll ask them to come and interview. We would hope that we'd get several applicants, and so we would
interview. You're going to look at grades and stuff like that?
Grades and see what kind of, since we do have the Facebook page asked to do a lot with conservation and such, I'm hoping that when we prepare the job, you know, duties, that will be part of it, is what kind of ideas they have to promote conservation and community awareness and such.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Chuck?
I have a few comments about the district changes and the new office space. One of the reasons that we did talk about the new office space is that it gave us flexibility in terms of meeting space, and we talked about moving these meetings over there. I guess I'd like to know, before we commit to doing that, what it's going to take to renovate that room to allow these meetings to happen there. And before we take any irreversible changes here in terms of AGP equipment and that kind of thing, before we remove anything here at the community center, I want to make sure that that building is going to be adequate in terms of acoustics, meeting space, everything, before we start vacating or making permanent changes. I know we've talked about that change, but if there are modifications to that building, are they going to be... accomplishable with the $4,700 we were given? We need a break room for the employee. Well, we need a break.
Oh, yeah, that's not
Let me finish
there.
Before you start answering. The break room for the employees, to me, was the critical thing in that space. And so I want to make sure that happens. I don't want the money spent on modifications for meeting space before we take care of that break room, that kind of thing. So I guess I wanted some dialogue before we jump right into moving the meetings.
So my understanding is that they are going to be prepared to, we will be prepared to hold meetings there.
Yes, but I was not aware that part of that $4,700 had to also go towards the break room.
That was the number one priority for that money. That's what I mean. We need a discussion, a board discussion, before we start making these kind of changes. Now, if we're not going to have them at finance committee meetings or somewhere else, they're going to have to happen here.
Okay. It's not agendized, so we obviously can't talk about it today, but we'll see how we can address that at our next meeting. Okay. Legal counsel report?
Just very briefly, I can report that the two fairly ancient writ petitions involving the district and the Water Control Board have been officially dismissed from the court docket as of November 18th. I do have a question. I'd like to know if the board would want me to do a Brown Act refresher course once the new member is seated. It commonly happens in other jurisdictions, but I don't know if that's the board's desire here.
Yeah, what we normally do is that we normally have Brown Act for not only the new director, but we also have them for our committee members in separate items. Normally, what we've done in the past is I've given the Brown Act for the committee members, because I'm obviously versed in it, and that we've had the district council give it to the new board members.
Okay. If that's your desire, then I'll be prepared.
I think we'll just proceed with that, okay, as we have in the past, unless somebody has some objection. No? Good? Yes? Okay. We'll go with that. Okay. Is anybody here? Oh, you're going to give LOCAC? I'm sorry. I didn't mean that in a negative sense. This will be your last time. You know that.
I do know that. I'm not sure Jeff knows that, but I know that. Okay. So there is not a report from the last meeting because we will be having the meeting on Monday, December 5th, due to the holidays. This is a very big meeting. There are 6 projects coming before LOCAC this month. Only one of them is on the consent agenda. And to give you an idea of what they are, they're all minor use permits. The first one is to construct an addition and remodel to an existing residence. That's on 4th Street. There's an addition and remodel to an existing residence on Costa Azul Drive. There is a construction of a deck. That's on Travis Drive. There's another remodel to a renovation on an existing residence. That location is on Fresno Drive. And there is a proposed minor use permit for the construction of a new single-family residence, garage, and guest house. That location is on Bayview Heights. The one that's on consent is a permit to construct a detached storage shed / workshop and obtain a vacation rental license for the residents. And that's on 3rd Street. So these are actually a big deal. We've been having more projects trickling in, and this is more of a flood. I strongly encourage everyone who can hear my voice to come to this LOCAC meeting. Jeff Weir, our chairperson, has already requested that Mr. Gibson and Carrie Brown come prepared to help clarify for us what the current decision-making structure is for new construction and renovations in Los Osos at this point in time. Questions?
No, thank you. I did have a question for my board. I've noticed that even though we do have a rotation in place for reporting to LOCAC, that's kind of fallen through the floor here. So do I have a volunteer to give our report at the LOCAC meeting on the 5th? Why not? You'll still be on the board till the 9th. You will? Okay, so Vicki, Chuck will go ahead and give the CSD report at the meeting on the 5th.
I'd like to add on that, too. I think it came from the public, too, the question about the adding on of rooms and such, too. And I think that's why it makes it so important for the public to show up. And Vicki, I have a question. Does the county notice the surrounding neighbors on these projects? Do you know?
No.
Probably not?
They have not. I can tell you that.
LOCAC comes very early in the process. Once the permit has gone closer to being accepted, then neighbors will be noticed at that point in time so that they have a chance to give input onto the project.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, prior to go at hearing, at administrative hearing or whatever, the notices go out, but there's been no, other than the email notice from LOCAC, there's been no notice to any of the neighbors. I can speak to that as one of the neighbors of one of these. So, so Steve?
Yeah.
You okay?
Dumb? Yeah.
So I'll talk about the Scarecrow Awards while you... The bear, I'm sorry. I'll talk about the bear awards while you get up here.
I got a new knee about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, you too. Boy, this is just a... You could start out with the bear awards, though. That would be a nice starting point, wouldn't it?
Okay. Good evening. Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. There's a lot going on in the business community right now, being December, and also I want to just talk about a couple of things that are going on. First, this Saturday, December 3rd, Slow Roasted Coffee, they're having an open house. They're on 1172 Los Olivos Avenue, and they're going to have 30% off all retail merchandise. Discounted prices on all coffee by the pound, coffee sampling, sampling slow roasted coffee infused with edibles from Apple Farm, raffles throughout the day, the grilled cheese incident food truck will be there, and they're going to be collecting non-perishable food items for the Season of Hope. So that's slow roasted. Also on Saturday, Los Osos Rexall is having their annual pajama party. That'll be from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. There'll be presents, pastries, prizes, and PJs. They'll be serving coffee, hot apple cider, while you check in items off on your ever-growing Christmas list. Pajamas are not required, but those who are brave enough to wear them will get 10% off their entire gift purchase. Also this weekend is the Holiday Gift Studio Tour. Celebrate the holidays with local artists. Take the local second annual Holiday Gift Studio Tour, which is this Sunday, December 4, from 11 to 4. There's four studios involved. The studios are by the bay, and you can feast your eyes on the work of eight talented local artists. So that's this Sunday from 11 to 4. Kiwanis is doing their See's Candy sale again by the post office. You see a little shack there. Tomorrow they'll be there, and then also be there on the 6th, 13th, 20th, and 22nd. All proceeds go to support children's activities in our community. The 2016 Christmas Parade is December 10th, Saturday, December 10th at 10 a.m. The theme for the Christmas Parade is Superhero Christmas, and it's going to be the parade route from, down Los Osos Valley Road from Fairchild all the way to Palisades. Participants in this year's parade are encouraged to decorate and costume their employees, their cars, their floats, or whatever they'll be showcasing to express their best creative ideas to be a superhero Christmas. You don't need a float. You can just come with your family, and we'll get you in the parade. Awards will be given to parade entrants in the category of best theme, best music, best on foot, and best on wheels, best animals, so forth. It's open to all business organizations. You don't have to be a member of the chamber. So it starts at 10 o'clock. It marches right down here. Perfect timing to come right in here to the 11th annual needs and wishes that Richard talked about earlier. And there you can be a real-life superhero and help out needs and wishes. There's Big Brothers, Big Sisters Awareness Day at Los Osos Fitness. That's going to be on December 21. 100% of all smoothie sales will be donated to Big Brothers, Big Sisters. There'll be a donation box at the front counter for your contributions. Free smoothies to all Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And you can win prizes when you work out. That's December 21st. The Chamber, we're looking for nominations for the 2016 Los Osos Citizen of the Year. The qualifications for nomination should include outstanding service and proven dedication to Los Osos over a period of time, involvement in multiple community efforts to benefit Los Osos over such as education, beautification, environment, service organizations, youth, seniors, churches, business, nonprofits, conservation, politics, community service, etc. You must live, work, or own a business in Los Osos Baywood Park. The deadline for nominations is Monday, December 12th. So you can go to go online, or you can just stop by the chamber office and get a form. The chamber is looking for visitor center volunteers who can commit 3 hours a week, either in the morning or afternoon. You will provide assistance to tourists and locals at our visitor center while working with the executive director to help with events, membership, support, fundraising, marketing efforts, and general office work. If you're interested, please call Dawn Roden, our executive director, 528-4884. And that concludes my report.
The Bear Awards, aren't you going to give that?
No. Okay. I don't have it, I'm sorry.
Oh. I'll look it up online. While
yeah.
Because I do know that we got an email regarding that, I think, yesterday from Dawn.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that was a good event, so I know that looking forward to having more people participate in the future for that event.
Right.
What, there are 20 bears this year, is that
22. Yeah.
Okay. Before the end of the meeting, I'll go over the winners because I do have my iPad here.
Thank you for that.
Okay. So next item, any questions? Thank you. The joint meeting of the Finance and Utility Advisory Committee, I'm just going to give an overview and then I'm going to let Mike talk about the details of that. We had our second meeting. We had our initial joint meeting in, April, I believe. This was our second meeting. We were primarily trying to identify items that would be helpful for budgetary process as well as for the ad hoc committee that I have going here for water rate studies and that item to make sure that they had all the information that they needed so they could do a productive productive analysis for us. So we talked about some best-case scenarios, worst-case scenarios, but then there was a detailed discussion about the ad valorem tax. So I'm going to turn it over to Mike to talk a little bit about that.
Thank you. Yeah, it was clarified. Roy did a good job on the legal background looking into the property tax that is going directly to the fire department, or pardon me, to the water company, and which is approximately $203,000 this year, I believe. And that is going to be factored in with the rate study ad hoc committee to come up with scenarios in phasing that out. It's going to be board action, of course, to take that, but for the next budgetary cycle, that has to be looked at. Also, I know staff is looking into the admin allocation overall for each department, and that's also going to be phased in for the next budget cycle. And the feeling is that, water is our primary function, so that the bulk of that, that's where the admin allocation should be. But again, that's also part of the rate study. And with the conservation, we are coming up short on revenue. And so that's another issue. That's why we have the ad hoc committee One of the suggestions on the property tax, phasing that out is, and work this into the rates, is a, say, a 25% per year reduction of the property tax to water over time. And it was also brought out that there's a possibility that, since the water company is what we call an enterprise fund, is that they may not even be legally allowed to receive property tax, but that's kind of a fuzzy area. And so with that, I know that the ad hoc committee is working on this, and then I know that then you, also FAC had a follow-up meeting, and so I'll turn that back to you since that was yours.
Yeah, I'll just go right into the Financial Advisory Committee meeting. So we did, at that meeting, have the warrants and register discussion, and the committee does recommend that we approve that. But we went into more detail talking about the process and the timing, et cetera, for that, because what we're looking at is trying to implement whatever process that we decide we want to do, whether it's a phase out over a period of time of that tax, or whatever it is, and try to get that in place for our next budgetary year. And we do get into budgetary hearings relatively early in the year. So, and just to add one more thing to that joint meeting, one of the things that the committee, or the two committees, talked about was trying to use a target of 20% allocation for water and then 10 for fire. I believe that was 80. Pardon me.
80, 10, and 10.
That's what I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize for that. 80, yes. 80 with 10 and 10 as the goal to try to work for the allocations, for the administrative allocations. And then I think that the ad hoc committee is moving forward, and I think we gave them the information at least that they need at this point to move forward. We did at the Financial Advisory Committee come up with a list of items that we need to provide to them in the short term here, so there's no holdup in the information they need. So staff's working on providing the information that was requested, not as we speak, but I know they are working on providing that. We did come up, I think, a detailed list of, what, 5 items, if I'm not mistaken? Is there more than that? 4?
And Rob has them all.
Yeah. So we're getting that information together to give to the ad hoc committee, because timing's critical if we're going to do something in the upcoming year. So that's where that goes. So with that, then I'll go back to the ESAC, Emergency Services.
Yes, Emergency Services met last week. It was a rather brief meeting since we have postponed the 4-0 staffing discussion until after the first of the year when the new chief gets here. We figured he should be involved in that that whole discussion. So basically, we went over the comments and the direction from the joint FAC-UAC meeting and how that would affect the fire department in terms of admin allocation and possible redistribution of the property tax revenues and that kind of thing. So it was a brief meeting. We are not going to meet in December. We'll be back in action in January.
Thank you. And with that, we'll go to Parks and Rec. I know you have an item on the agenda, but if you have something you want to add to that, too.
Yeah, the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee completed our 2016 work plan at our 21st of November meeting. I'd like to thank the committee for their work. That was Julie Tacker, Vicki Millage, Steve Best. This is for the whole year. Yeah. Steve Best, Andrea Luker, and Shauna Sullivan. Thank you to those volunteers on our committee. So the plan, the work plan that we had was to study some options, what was feasible, what we could do, and give some recommendations to the board. And we've done that. We have that tonight. As you saw in the amended agenda, one of those in particular is up later. So, but before I get to that, I want to just announce what the results of our study were, just in terms of numbers. Pocket Parks, 13 surveys returned with that. Bocce Ball, 18. Movie Night, 12. Horseshoes, 4. More Soccer Fields, 9. Community Gardens, 9. Benches, 9. Various different bike and walk paths, 26. And Dog Park, 27. There were 8 other ideas we didn't suggest. But the surveys were open-ended and included a lot of feedback from the community and a lot of good ideas. So I think the way we worked this out was I was going to ask your consensus now for the three following items, and then we'll discuss the potential dog park idea at 12B. And those were to have me sign a letter as the committee chair to the sister agencies regarding the findings of our study, to ask staff to open discussions with the school district about how we might be able to cooperate in accordance with our study results at the Sunnyside site, and ask the staff to develop a low-cost, ideally free plan for the 3rd Street site, ask for somebody to donate a picnic bench, ask the trash company if they would be willing to pick up trash for free, so that, you know, picnic table implies food consumption, or if not, otherwise a bench. Is that okay? All right, thank you.
Sounds good. Any question? Okay, next one's mine again, appointment of ad hoc committee. So we discussed this last time. I was going to appoint an ad hoc committee of myself and Director Storm to do the bylaw review and the rules of decorum. We do update those annually, so it's just a normal procedure. We work with the general manager and legal counsel to make sure that we do that. I mean, we're mandated to do that by our bylaws. So that's going to be the ad hoc committee. Basin Management Committee report. We did have a good meeting. I thought it was a very, very productive meeting. We went over water projections. The primary thing that we did talk about, and the majority of the meeting was talking about water conservation implementation plan, as far as the monies that are available for water conservation programs. We had a very, very detailed presentation from Rob as far as what the proposed conservation measures were and what the monetary benefits to the people that implemented those would be. We had a very, very good letter submitted by, I'm not sure what they go by anymore, Ms.
Sustainability Group.
The Sustainability Group is where I should go with it. We got a really good letter from the Sustainability Group, and we incorporated the majority, I think, of their recommendations into the motion that we approved that was forwarded to the county and will be forwarded to the Coastal Commission. So I thought we had a really, really good discussion and came up with some really good conservation plans and financial benefits for the people that implement them. I don't know. Chuck, do you want to add anything to that because you were there?
No, I thought it was a pretty productive meeting. We've got, I think, a good plan, a good amendment in place or going to be in place. It's just a matter of being able to fund it.
Keeping pushing forward on that. Okay, so we have other meetings, programs, conferences, and seminars. Anybody other than me? Okay, I've got a couple. We did have California Special Districts meeting that we had our bi-monthly meeting, and we had a presentation by the California Special Districts representative from Sacramento. So I think that she did a good job as far as informing everybody as to what services the state organization can provide to local CSDs and what things that we need to be aware of relative to legislative actions and things like that. I don't, do you have anything to add to that, Renee? So I thought that was our bi-monthly meeting was a good one. And then we had our Morro Bay National Estuary Program. We had our annual update and our report to EPA for, we meet quarterly, so for this quarter or for this 2016 year, we had our annual update and our report to EPA, and we have really met all of the goals that we laid out and we're within budget on everything, so that's moving forward very well. We are, the estuary program is working with the Basin Management Committee. We talked about that because they're providing money for testing. So it's going to be a cooperative effort with the Basin Management Committee and with the Estuary Program. I think that's going to be a very, very good ongoing relationship there. So that's it. Responses to the previously asked questions, I think they were included in the General Manager's report, at least the ones that we're aware of. If anybody has any additional items that haven't been addressed, would you please let us know so we can make sure they get addressed separately. So with that, then we'll move to the consent agenda. Does anybody want to pull an item before we go to public comment on that? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go ahead and public comment on the items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I don't know when this stopped, but I'd like to see it reinstated as the committee meeting minutes as part of your packet. Right now, the board has a pretty good level of interest, and I see you attending each other's committees and not violating the Brown Act at all because you're quiet, but not all of you do, and not everyone can take the time to listen to the tape. But sometimes, if you don't have the framework from which those committees were talking, these reports, you're kind of dropped in off out of outer space. And part of what is coming for Los Osos needs to be education, in that we're talking about administrative allocations. We're talking about the property tax redistribution. If you don't have the background in front of you, even as board members, you're not going to have the full picture when it comes time to actually raise rates, which is what's coming. So I'd like to see that in your packet. I do have a question about hiring a bookkeeper. We've always called it an accountant, so I don't know if there's a difference. Are we looking for something different? And when we are looking for a local bookkeeper, what are we doing? Is this an RFP? Is this simply Ms. Osborne doing her own search and picking a local bookkeeper, accountant person? And then again, she says in her report that the cost would be on the order of the Warmer Dam contract. I think you need to know what that was, because that tended to fluctuate. And I think you need to pick what the price is. And I guess you would when there's a contract entered into, but for if it's within her spending authority. Goodbye, Barnett Cox. Been real, real painful, and good luck finding an intern. One question that comes to my mind that Mr. Cicinia raised is this $4,700 for a budget for the move or the outfitting of the offices. Where did that number come from? Because it wasn't publicly vetted. It may be part of a larger budget number, but I think that would have been a healthy discussion, and it may have been able to include a break room if that wasn't already figured out.
Okay. Anybody else? Richard?
Richard Margetson, I don't know if I'd stepped out for a minute. I don't know if the fire chief mentioned that there will be Operation Santa Claus barrels here at the toy store. Did he? Okay. Two things. I want to follow up on Chuck's comment about the meetings being at the new office. I have a lot of concerns, but I guess the big one is when we get further into resolving some of the basin issues and the public comes out to try to participate or understand what's happening, and how it's going to affect future growth. I don't know how that room accommodates 50 people, 60 people, 70 people. We used to have those size meetings here. We used to have it where this partition was open, and there were people from this end to that end, every seat. Just giving you that heads up. I don't think enough questions have been answered. But I guess the thing that I'm really bothered about in the staff presentations tonight is under the utilities report, this letter from Mr. Campa about the assessments. It's right at the back of the utilities report, stating that at this time we are anticipating a little more than 2 years to fully recover the loan amount of $30,000. This includes deducting the expense to keep street lighting of 14 lamps in your neighborhood. And then there's a chart below there. There's nothing in this analysis about the current expenses for Vistadero. And if you go to the budget that's in this packet, of the $15,768 that's taken in this year from the assessments, $8,832 is budgeted for administration. So how do you pull $13,268 out of $15,768 to pay down the loan, still cover the administrative allocation and the other expenses for Vistadero? If this letter went out to the residents, it's absolutely misleading. And they have many more years than 2 years to fully pay off the loan and everything else that's involved in having Vistadero on our books and the administrative allocation. Their administrative allocation is only 1.5% of the total budget. But there probably has to be something for them down the road. Even if it's dropped to 1%, that drops down to $6,000, almost $6,000 out of $15,000. This needs to be redone and restated and sent out with an explanation or a clarification, because I'm surprised you haven't gotten, if this was sent out, I don't know if it was sent out, but if it was, it's absolutely false.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for those comments. We'll take a look at that. Renee, did you want to respond to the bookkeeper accountant question?
Yes, we will be doing an RFP and bookkeeper, meaning, yes, we would hope that they have a CPA license. Yes, yes, for sure.
Okay, thank you. All right, so can we go ahead and have a motion, please, for...
Oh, could I give one quick clarification? The $4,700 came from the landlord. That was what he put into the lease agreement, thinking that that would handle the cost of the remodels and modifications that we wanted for the break room. So that's where that number came from, Julie.
Okay, thank you. So can we have a motion, please?
I move to receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
We had one more public.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't realize that. My mistake.
Steve Bester. I was looking at the organizational chart, and the one thing that was standing out to me is that there is nothing mentioned in here about parks and recreation. But there's nothing in here for
a
manager.
That's next item, Steve.
It is?
That's not what we're talking about now.
Okay. I thought. Well, I apologize. I didn't know this was going to be coming up again for
comment. No, yeah. That's 12A. Right now we just had the committee reports and the consent item. So you'll have opportunity to speak when we bring that up.
Okay. I didn't know it was a separate item. Thanks.
Okay. We'll give you. You'll have an opportunity. All right. Any other public comment on consent item and committee reports? All right. Now we'll bring it back.
I move to receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Second. Oh, yeah. Chuck, yes. Do we have anything on a roll call, or can we just do it? No? Okay, we'll just all in favor.
Contrary to the contract.
No, we don't need. That's not a resolution. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Okay, now we'll go to general action items. 12A, which is a discussion and approval of the district reorganizational structure. So we'll have the staff report and then public comment.
So we'd like to make the addition of, we noticed that we didn't have Parks and Rec, so we definitely would like to make the addition of Parks and Rec to the committees. We'd also like to add on the very top citizens of Los Osos, because they should be up on top, and then the organizational chart. We would like to, or I would like to change the utility systems manager to utility systems supervisor. And unless there's other comments, I would like to recommend a motion for contingent approval upon the required meet and greet confer with SLOSIA.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Could you, okay, I know you're changing the title here for Margaret, but
yes.
As far as the layout of this chart, I mean, the layout stays the same.
The layout will stay the same.
It's
yes.
Just the technical
terminology.
Yeah,
just the technical okay. Terminology, yes.
Do we have any other?
Well,
yep.
Okay. Job duties must be changing somehow, because there's been a lot of discussion about how people are doing two and three jobs, that kind of thing. So we're not just changing a title. We're somehow changing job descriptions. Is the bookkeeper going to be picking up some of what Ann's doing now? That's what I'm looking for, is a little direction on what really is changing.
Okay, well, okay, no problem.
In terms of duties, not just boxes and titles.
So, yes, under the general manager report, the bookkeeper would take over the payroll and the AP. That would be given to the bookkeeper. And then Anne would take care of the rest of everything else that she's been taking care of. As far as Margaret goes, she's already taken on the responsibilities of the utility systems manager, plus her current responsibilities. And other than that, we would be moving over Liz. She was administrative accountant and kind of back and forth helping with, she does billing and does it a little bit for Ann, but instead we'll move her over under utilities. She'd still do all the billing and like she's doing now, but she would help out Margaret with some of the other items that she, you know, that Liz would be able to handle. And then the part-time person that we have at the front desk, he would be helping Ann with some of the minor things that, you know, that she can hand over to him.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so I see Liz is kind of moving around a little bit, some of her duties, that kind of thing, too. Okay, great.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, now we'll go to any other questions? Okay, we'll go to public comment on the district reorganization structure.
Julie Tacker again, and I wish there had been like a cover sheet with a narrative describing what this item really was about. All I saw was boxes and titles. And with that, you would have a current organizational chart that shows what the district does today. And then kind of piggybacking on what Chuck just said, these descriptions or these changes that are being made have dollars attached to them, in whether it's a stipend or some increase for Margaret or Ann, and all of that would be in this agenda item so that you would be considering all the ramifications of a change like this. So I'm a little confused as to really what you're doing here today, because you have to have all that background before you can say this is the way we want to go. Another thing that I thought would be considered with a change of the organization is that, you know, our garbage company is gone, Bay Ridge and Vista are leaving. There should be some downsizing in the utility department. We're not doing what we used to do. So I'd encourage a more thorough discussion back to committee. We used to do this in committee because there are financial implications with the changing of job duties and job descriptions.
Any other comments?
Steve Best. I wanted to, being part of the Parks and Recreation Committee, it's been my thoughts and my concerns as to how we need to set up a Parks and Recreation department. And again, not seeing anything on here that refers to it, even up at the recognizing the advisory committees as being the Park and Recreation is being one of those committees. And then having a manager, whether or not you're going to share actual technicians in the field that are going to do multiple duties between water and landscaping it to this, or maintenance up to this point. That's something that can be looked at. I've also had some concerns about planning. County has a Parks and Recreation committee within their group, and they have kind of a redundancy of what we're trying to do with the town, and that's the reason why I wanted to talk about having a joint session. But we're not doing anything as far as planning. People from outside the committee or outside the community are doing our planning for us, and I think with the Parks and Recreation Department and considerations, we need to be looking at planning as well, not just managing what happens out there in the field. And then I've also had some conversations as to with the county as to how many facilities they have here that they do maintain and manage, and that would be something that if we want to have a very cohesive program here that would look at the entire town and make sure things are coordinated, and that say, for example, dog bag stations are where they belong, maintenance crews are out there taking care of the sites where they need to be, things don't degrade. I think it's an important item to discuss with the county and find out how we can share and adopt what the, you know, we're the Parks and Recreation Department for this town. You know, the county should be able to recognize that and say, okay, we're doing other things like permits and so forth. Let's take care of the Parks and Recreation needs for this town. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard.
Oh boy, I get unlimited time.
That's not going to happen.
I'm not going to take anywhere near 3 minutes. I'm glad Citizens of Los Osos was added to the top of the chart. That was taken away 2 managers ago and then re-added, and it should always be there. But my comment is, you have the breakdown of the utilities department and the employees below it in the administrative service area, but I think there's a box missing under fire chief. Where's the full-time firefighters? Is anybody, any response? Josh will not just oversee Harmony and 25 reserves. If you're going to have all the employees in the utilities department, there should be another box, because their organizational chart shows them all. You know, that the emergency services committee meeting or committee gets every year. So anyway, I think you got a box missing.
Okay, thank you. So anybody else? Well, close and bring back to the committee. I would just like to make just one comment. The structure that Renee proposed here fits within the budget that we did approve. And we did, when we said we were going to hire a new general manager, say that we wanted that person to come in and do the restructure. So that's where we are, and that's why it's before us today. So, John Eric?
Anybody else?
I have a quick comment. I think in lines with what Julie said, this would have been a good item to have at Finance Committee meeting the other night. looking at the financial implications, and it looks like there are none, really, because it's all moving boxes around within the budget that we have. But that would have been a good thing just to reaffirm at the Finance Committee meeting the other night.
John Eric.
I move we approve this org chart with the addition to what we have here of Citizens of Los Osos at the top, the Parks and Rec Committee, the Utility Systems Supervisor instead of Utility Systems Manager, and the addition of the full-time firefighters.
Is there a second? Second. Any? Do we need a roll call on this one? Nope. Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay. With that, then, we'll go to the last item on our agenda for this evening, which is the 12B, the discussion and direction to prepare and issue an RFP for a dog park at the former Miss De Oro Leach Field site or other suitable location. Do we want to turn that over to John Eric? Or?
Yeah, the reason there's no staff report with this is because
that was my 3 minutes.
We don't have we haven't given direction to staff yet to do anything, and the committee can't direct staff. So what we're seeking here is taking in. I guess I'll back up. The Parks and Rec Committee recommended that we move forward with an RFP, but it had certain features that we would like to see. We'd like to see appropriate ground cover. For the dogs, preferably some kind of turf or something else where they don't hurt their feet. A large dog in a small dog area. And, you know, other appropriate facilities. And so then that would go to an RFP. One of the sites we have identified over the course of this project is the Vista de Oro Leach site, but we want to hear from anybody, any group in the community, any nonprofit, or anybody else, if they have another suitable site, or maybe Vista de Oro isn't a suitable site. So we want it pretty general in that regard. If you have any questions.
Well, I have a question. There was obviously that site at Pine and Los Osos Valley Road where I think the sign's still up. Is that out of play, or do you know what the situation is with that?
I don't know what the situation with that is. If they want to put forth a proposal, that certainly would fall in the four corners of what we're talking about.
Because I know LOCAC discussed that as a potential location. So, okay, just a question.
Well, I have a suggestion, too, is that the county owns the property between the end of the park here and the Catholic Church, and it's already in proximity to parking and that sort of thing. I think you're going to get some sort of people in Vista de Oro. I think it may not be conducive to some of the people being close by. I know that was one of the discussions on the Pine Street was the property owners behind it. So I think that's one area you can look at and work with the county on that.
So yeah, between the tennis courts and the church? Is
right, that property there. It's just laying there.
That's owned by the county?
It is owned by the county.
Okay.
I guess I'm a little bit confused about we want to put out an RFP. Are we just looking for someone that wants to build a dog park on property that we already own or bring us a whole new concept? I doesn't seem very well baked, I guess, this idea. And my concern with the Vista de Oro property is that big sweeping curve as you come down Pecho. To me, you'd need a traffic study. To really, before you even think about inviting people in there as a public use space, you're going to need a traffic study to really look at the ingress and egress there. I know the nursery's a tricky spot too to get in and out of, but that's their problem. We don't necessarily want to invite people to a risky spot. Anything at Vista de Oro traffic study, and that's not cheap.
Spoken as a true Caltrans.
Absolutely. Liability.
Yeah. I have a little discomfort with that notion of an RFP, but I think we can play within it because we're trying to identify where is it going to be, who controls the property, what are the expenditures and investments to actually create an operational dog park, and what are the ongoing expenses of who's going to staff it, either we sort of chip in and people volunteer their time or we pay somebody. I think we need to get to how is this going to work and then take a step after that. So I think for now we can use the term RFP, but it's really a lot more than that, in my opinion. So I'm not arguing against it at all.
This item is just for discussion. So,
yeah.
So we'll go ahead and open this one for public comment. Again, this is just the discussion and direction to staff.
Chuck's, Cecilia's comments about this of the oil property, I think it's about 5 acres or something like that. It seems like a pretty good space. And it would be fairly easy to set back parking into the property. Mm-hmm. So that would solve some of the issues that you're concerned about. And that's something that could be looked at. And I do think it's a little early to RFP something like this. In my view, I think that needs more community input. I think you could send notifications out or put them on all the sites that you think might be possible and just see what kind of comments you get back from the community. That might help a little bit in determining any negative things that might want to stop it. But adding parking over there wouldn't be that big of a problem. You just bulldoze inside a ways and allow people to pull in and out of there, and that could be done. And so it's just a matter of, what kind of design you would like to do. And one nice thing about that area, it's very sunny, open, and kind of out of the way, so it's not getting into people's, as long as you have good parking. Thank you.
Thank you, Al. Steve?
Steve Best. I spent quite a bit of time this past week. I walked that site over at Vista Doro, and I personally couldn't see it as a good viable option. Primarily, it was on the far side of town from the majority of the neighborhood. But the problematics with parking, the irregularity of the site, I'm not sure how much can be done because it is part of a drainage pit. For runoff and so forth. So what could be done with it? It doesn't really lend itself. I've been looking at other possible scenarios. It's my understanding that the site at Pine Street is that was going to be a deal that had to do with buying water rights for another property that was being built. But the sign is down at this point right now, and I've been trying to contact the people that put that sign up to find out more precisely what the story is on it. I'm going to I've been looking at it quite a bit. I've been studying the maps on it, looking at all the potential properties. Again, I talked with the county, found out there's besides this site here, they've got a beach access down off of Pasadena. They have the Monarch Grove area, and there's one other site. I forget what it is right now, but neither one of those are really suitable for a dog park, except for this site here. This site here, if you look at a map, is dead center in the community. It has good walkability for anybody. For 80% of the neighborhood, people I've been talking with, and I spent a lot of time over the past year talking with people about a dog park, and the one thing they want is someplace where it's accessible, it has good parking. One thing that came up this past week that I hadn't thought about before is it's got bathrooms. Okay, none of these other sites have bathrooms. We've got a ready-made site that has a perfect opportunity for not only the dog park and all the other potential issues, but it we could still, there's still room in there for another tennis court, but we can also use the reclaimed water because we're right here on the pipeline for the reclaimed water. So there's other advantages to it as well. So we don't have to worry about, irrigating it and so forth. So one of the primary issues is that people want grass because they don't want their dogs, running around getting splinters in the feet from wood chips and so forth. So there's just, I've got a whole list of attributes and benefits from the
for using this site here. And the best thing for us to do is to have control over that option. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Richard?
Richard Martin. The Vista de Oro property also might need an extension of a turn lane, too, and that could be very, that could break the budget right there. This property behind the tennis court, so that's a very good idea, Mike. I'm here at the center on average, I would say at least once a day, or even if it's just for a few minutes, and there's always cars parked at this end of the parking lot with people playing with their dogs on this end of the thing. I mean, I think it's the optimal location, and I think if you approach the county about it, they might want to do it. We are lax in parks or those type of amenities. They might be up for it. I think the logistics are perfect for it being here. I think Vista is a real problem, and it could cost you more to get it going than it would be worth for that size property. So, thank you.
Any other public comment? You have Jolie.
Julie Tacker again, and doesn't really matter where. You have to look at what's been the obstacle for all development in this community. And if we can overcome the water because of Purple Pipe, that's a plus. If we can overcome the sewage because there's bathrooms, that's a plus. What we can't do and haven't been able to do for 20 years, 21 years since 1995 is overcome the snail. And I hate to see anyone waste their time until we've accomplished the Habitat Conservation Plan. You have a portion in that the work you do as a community services district, whether it's weed abatement for the fire department or reading meters and pulling up little concrete blocks and finding snail, all of that has to be folded into that plan. And the activities that the Community Services District does has to be covered under the Endangered Species Act. That's what stopped the community garden that the Community Services District started in 2000, whatever it was. We got stopped by the snail there. The CSD's own well projects have been hampered or shackled by snail. And I think that hurdle needs to be hopped before we take this journey. If the private sector wants to find a piece of land, overcome the snail, overcome the water and sewage issues on their own, great. Volunteers, I think it would have been done by now. Ann Calhoun led the charge even back in the day here in Los Osos, and it wasn't attainable. So people do get to play with their dogs wherever they play with their dogs right now. How to make that better is to provide those doggy bag services and trash pickup services. You're a services district. Do as much of that as you can. But you're not going to pay for the snail surveys. You're not going to pay for all that work. It's just not in the realm of possibility until that community plan is adopted and the Coastal Commission has blessed the entire LCP amendment.
Thank you. Any other public comment? I would just like to make a couple comments because I'll turn it over to you then, John Eric. But I think the idea of this site here with the recycled water adds a lot of pluses to it, in my opinion. I think the other thing is, since the wastewater treatment plants come online, and this will take a few years to bear out, but right now the biggest pollutant of the bay is dog poop, and I'm not exaggerating. That's why the estuary program has the MIT program, you know, for the MUT-MIT program, and that's one of the biggest things right now that is becoming an issue. And Steve mentioned the Pasadena site, and that's one of the big detriments with people taking their dogs down there is they don't clean up with the MUT-MITs behind their dog, and then that becomes pollutants in the bay. And it is a major, major issue. So I think that the timeliness of this is important. So I'll turn it over to you.
I think there's a lot of steps still to take, and we're not asking to turn the bulldozers on tomorrow. One thing is with the pollution concerns is if we have one central area and people use it, it's easier to clean up. As far as the sites go, I'm certainly open to having the staff try to work with the county. The point here is to give the direction for them to go ahead and get it baked and then do the RFP and then come back through the committees, through us, and see if this is even something we can do. But the process that we've gone through here has been 2.5 years to survey the community, see what they want, and, you know, so all I'm really asking for at this point is a green light from the board to instruct the staff to bake these ideas in and come up with something and see what we get.
Yeah, I would agree with Steve on this one. I did walk the Vista de Oro site, and I have the same concerns that were expressed about traffic by both Richard and I just don't see how that's tenable. It's bad enough going into Los Osos Valley Nursery on the curb there. So, and I don't think it's 5 acres. I think it's only a couple acres, if I'm not mistaken. But I did walk it, and I literally parked down at the Los Osos Valley Nursery and walked back up there from there. So,
It would definitely need parking. It definitely need traffic work. There's no doubt about that. It's not perfect, but we're dealing with the art of the possible here.
Right.
That may
right.
not be possible for all the reasons everybody's identified.
Well, I think that to me is two viable sites that we've identified, or not viable, but two sites that we could look at is Vista de Oro and the site here. I mean, that's two right there.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, in regards to the habitat conservation plan, I mean, wasn't that supposed to be done years ago?
So many years ago.
And I think, didn't they promise us the first
the
part of 07?
The last estimate was this 17? Fall there was going to be an update, but I didn't hear anything. I think that's the direction.
Latest plan is like May.
Okay.
I was going to say it's the first part of the
I think
year.
That's the – I mean, I like this site the county has to somehow work through that HCP to get approvals for anything that to be able to use this site. So to me, it's got all the makings. It's got all the pluses for it.
Yeah.
And so let's give the people a dog park because the dogs don't really care, but the people do.
And I just want to say one thing, too. And we got a lot of input about this. This and the committee considered this. We know the locations here are all bunched up. We know that the community park is here where we are. We know that we're talking about earlier with the Sunnyside site, and now we're talking with this. Believe me, I would love nothing more than to do something with the Baywood area and meet this out a little bit better. And there may be some possibility for that in the future, depending on what all the impacts of Diablo Canyon closure are. But for right now, I just have to tell everybody this is basically, again, down to the art of the possible. And I would love to work this site here if we can do it.
Just a minute, Lou. So you raised an issue that I hadn't even thought about, the Sunnyside site. Is that viable or is that even a feasible option?
I know the school district
is probably never going to reopen.
There's a dog park right next to an existing school site in Morro Bay. Whether that'll play probably has some their tenants and other issues involved. So what we want to get staff to come up with, you know, pin some of these things down to get enough detail, put out an RFP, get a figure, get some estimates, and if they come back where there's no hope of doing this, then I think the next step to do is talk about what to do with that reserve fund. But if we can do something, I think this is what the people have consistently said.
Okay, I think there's a couple issues. what we can do with the reserve.
Mike. No, not Mike. Microphone.
It's been a long week. There's the issue of the money. The money can be used to sort of get more money. That's one thing we can address. We can look at two or three alternative sites. We can have the pluses and minuses and go work through that. We have a committee that is very, very talented and actually very passionate about doing this, the volunteers. And I think we could move this forward. And I think we should bark if we're for it. I mean, that's all I got to say. Let's do it.
Okay. I think if we could, you know, work, and I would add a third site to the two that you talked about. I think adding Sunnyside would not be a bad idea, because if we talk about the portion that's adjacent to the fire station, that may be a viable alternative up there. So.
And I am remiss not to mention that that was brought up at the committee and part of their recommendations as well. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think those three sites, and then we can just give staff some direction to... So.
I'll move that, taking into consideration the recommendations of the Parks and Rec Committee and the board, the staff begin the work necessary to prepare an RFP for a dog park.
At those three sites, or do you want to?
At those three sites.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All right. Any more discussion? No woofing, Lou. I'm sorry.
I guess I don't know. To me, it takes time and energy to prepare an RFP. You're looking for something concrete and specific. At this point, aren't we still in a point of discussing with the county what options, what we can do, what the possibilities are with the already owned land?
That's what I wanted to do.
Okay.
I think we're talking apples and oranges here. I think what John Eric is talking about is directing staff to look at these three sites and then see what the viability is and then bring them back to us. Okay. I mean, we're not going to send out an RFP to Wallace Group to do a design. I mean,
okay, that's what I get. When I think of an RFP, I'm thinking, all right, we want design proposals. We want specific engineering presentation. Okay.
I mean, we had to clarify exactly what we're asking for.
Well, it's essentially getting it moving with staff. That's what we're doing here.
Yeah, aren't we really looking for a feasibility analysis?
That's a good phrase. There you go. That's a good phrase.
I like that way more than an RFP.
Well,
and I don't know why. It just, I guess, a proposal is something finite to me. We're asking people to bring us something to, yeah, a design that we can approve. Feasibility.
What I was asking for is to approve both. Have the staff do the work on feasibility, and then after that's done, get proposals.
Well, you should bring it back, for the RFP. I'd like you to suggest you amend your motion.
Well, Lou had a comment here.
My comment is, the staff should have a heavy burden on this. But the committee should be plugged in. The committee has passion. They will work like mad. You can see evidence from the comments we've had. So, in other words, I hate to see it just bureaucratized totally.
Ironic.
Sure. Ironic, totally.
Yeah. Sure. Okay,
what?
Yeah. Okay, I accept the amendment.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to direct staff to prepare a feasibility analysis for the three sites and report back to us next month.
With it going to the committee?
Were you going to have a committee meeting within
No.
that? When's your next committee meeting?
We need a work plan. We don't have a work plan, so we don't have a meeting.
We're doing that in January.
Yeah.
Good point. Well, do you want us to come back to the board, or do you want us to...
Back to the board.
Okay, so next month, back to the board. So my thought process is contacting the school district, see if it's even a viable option, because they may flat out of the chute say no. I mean, we know enough about that one. And
talk
this
to the
one,
county, parks.
Talk to the county, parks, and whoever controls that piece of property. Okay, so all in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so with that, then, we'll go to... closing board comments. If everybody's going to talk about needs and wishes in the parade, we can just have one person do that, or we can all talk about it. So we'll start with you. Well, we'll finish with you since this is your last meeting.
Okay.
We'll start with Chuck.
December 10th, a week from Saturday. Again, I have donated lunch with the director, myself. And,
lunch? At the Ale House?
Lunch? You
at
can have lunch with Marshall. No, no. It's 2nd Street, the new noise little spot. Naked. It was the Naked Fish or something, right. And now it's Noise and Doise. Anyway, that new spot, I haven't been there, and I think it's going to be good.
Again, that's December 10th.
From noon until...
Right after the parade.
Right after the parade.
10.
Starts at 10. Excuse 10. Me, at 10. Right after the parade.
That's what I was trying to egg you on.
Well, get here before the parade if you want. But
I just want to thank Director Wright for his service. He's a veteran. He's been involved in this community for 40 years in various capacities with the schools, with youth, with the community service area, with committees, and with the CSD, and I'm really sorry to see him go. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I was going to thank you too, but because you have been on the board since you were appointed and elected with me last time through 4 years ago. I appreciate your help. I would hope that you're going to still continue to work with us on some of the committees, though, because I think you're a valuable asset to have. And then I'm going to go ahead and hit up the December 10th, the parade, which starts at Fairchild and comes down to here. So you can go in the parade or watch the parade, and then come down here and enjoy yourself at the needs and wishes. With that, we'll let you close.
Okay, appreciate going last here. Just to add on to needs and wishes and the parade, before the parade, the Kiwanis are having a pancake breakfast, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. $8 include all a full pancake breakfast for one. And it's in the parking lot of the Bear Valley Garage at the corner of Los Osos Valley Road and Sunset. And you can call Steve Vincent for more information. So that's pre-parade. And I'd just like to say it has been an honor to be on the board. It's been an honor working with the board members and staff. And I will be around and as far as that goes. And just in closing, I'd like to say what Red Skelton used to say, good night and God bless.
Thank you.
One last thing, Marshall. When you go to Ralph's, be kind to the kettle. Tis the season.
Tis the season.
Thank you. So with that, we'll go ahead and adjourn.
Thank you.